Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Father's Day is coming up, and I'm sure I don't need to remind you of that. Children and wives are thinking about what would be appropriate gifts to give Dad these days. Sadly, for far too many wives and children, Dad is nowhere to be found, or far too often absent from the home scene, or worse yet, he's there, but he's drunk and disorderly and abusive. Fatherlessness and dysfunctional dads is one of the great epidemics of disaster in many countries of our world, especially America. Do you see the effects of this disaster in your city? In our journey with James, the half-brother of Jesus, and the little letter he wrote to Jesus' followers all across the Roman Empire in the first century, we've come to James chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. It's only three verses, and he speaks to my opening paragraph today. James writes, "Don't be deceived, dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down to us from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us new birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created." Wow, God's timing is awesome that we would come to this little paragraph 3 days before Father's Day, giving us time to absorb it, think about it, and own it. James uses the words, "dear brothers," to specify that he's focusing these three verses on Christ following men. In Christ, we are brothers, and God Almighty is our Heavenly Father, according to Romans 8, who has adopted us as he rescued us from our sin bondage. Brothers encourage each other. Brothers challenge each other to growth and character development. Brothers stand together against opposition. But do you know one of the great problems of our world is that most men are fearful of having other men whom they consider brothers in their lives? Two exceptions to this are the military and athletics, where you live or die in teamwork and reliance on each other. So let me ask you, men who are with me on this journey walking with Jesus, in addition to Jesus, who else do you have as a close friend or two that you can really count on as you face the challenges of life? I mean a true brother who wants the best for you and will challenge you, help you, stand with you, and if needed, slap you upside the head when you are going down the wrong road, as a friend of mine would say. Take the warning, my male friends all around the world. Don't do life alone. Make sure you have some brothers on the journey with you. Alone is vulnerable. Did you hear James? Don't be deceived. Have you noticed how much easier it is to be deceived when you're alone than when you have strong character friends helping you think through the issues and choices of life? Who are those type of friends for you? Are you teaching your children and grandchildren the importance of wisely choosing friends and keeping their distance from those who would deceive them into making choices they will long regret? I mentioned gifts a moment ago as we anticipate Father's Day. How do you assess the value of a gift? What's the most precious gift you've ever received in your life? Why is it so precious to you, and how do you protect it? James says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down to us from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." It's amazing, isn't it, how much is changing in our world, even opinions about things which have been cherished and believed to be true for centuries, even millennia. So how do you stand immovable, unshakable, when change is happening all around you, my friends? James wants us to hold tightly to a fundamental truth here. God does not change. In fact, did you know God said that once to an Old Testament prophet who then wrote it down for all to read? "I, the Lord, do not change." Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And the author of the letter titled Hebrews wrote, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings." Hebrews 13. So I ask you, each and all of you, everywhere around the world in more than 2,000 cities, are you living your life built on this great unchanging truth? God does not change, ever. When James calls God the Father of the heavenly lights, yes, James may be making a reference to Genesis chapter 1 and God's creation of all things beginning with light. But more likely, James is using the concept of light being a symbol of truth. As Jesus had said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you hold to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son of God sets you free, you will be free indeed." John chapter 8. So, can you see James is challenging us to consider all that we have received in our lives that we call gifts? And do we see that the best gifts are those given to us through our relationship with Jesus? Do we see those are wonderful gifts in this life, but they will also be tremendous gifts in all eternity future? So look closely, my friends. What are those gifts Jesus has given you, and do you cherish them as the most perfect, most important of all the gifts you have or could possibly receive? Paul challenges us to remember our redemption, our rescue from our sin, condemnation, and bondage is a gift of God. We didn't do it ourselves, and we didn't earn it. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, Ephesians 2. And do you remember the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost when explaining to people what was happening as the Holy Spirit had come upon them? Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off," Acts 2. So my friends, how precious, perfect, and valuable is this great gift of the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Are you experiencing all that He has available to you? Oh, what a magnificent, wonderful, powerful gift of God that makes all the difference in the world for me and all of you who have fully trusted in Jesus. Finally, James says one last thing in this brief paragraph that's important for us today. He chose to give us new birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that He created. God chose. Don't you love that, my friends? When Adam and Eve turned away from God and everything started the downward spiral, God chose to rescue rather than destroy or simply do nothing and allow us to self-destruct generation after generation. Listen to this. God chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. He lavished on us all wisdom and understanding. Ephesians 1, 4 and 8. And Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit." John chapter 15. Oh my, how incredible to consider that God chose you and me to have the option of a new life with Him, even though it cost Him the death of Jesus, God the Son. But the result of all this glorious truth today, my friends, is, as James says, we might be considered a kind of first fruits of all that He created. Eventually, everything will be made new, Revelation 21 says. But in the meantime, we, those who have trusted Jesus and have experienced new life in Him, we are the first of God's recreation work. Think about that. So today, I salute you, all of you around the world, if you are part of this glorious, mighty, global movement called the People of God. You are a trophy of God's great work of grace, and I hope you know how much delight you bring to Jesus as He watches you live as a new creation in Christ. Now here's a song to help us celebrate these great truths. I know I've given it to you before, but I love this song. It's a great song of celebration, and God bless you today.